Thankful to have been there here this week so far. Y'all have been a pleasure to preach to, and you kind of laugh at me occasionally, which you're laughing at me. You don't have to laugh with me. I get it. That's fine. But I'm thankful because I know the preacher said that he knew that I would preach the word, but it's hard to preach the word when people don't receive it. And I'm going to tell you, it's good to keep the heart of receiving. And I'm really trying to talk you up tonight, because tonight we're going to start talking about money. And that's when people start going, dun, dun, dun. And then this stuff starts coming out. I'm not giving a dime. Well, well, well. I hope you didn't come with that attitude. I noticed this pew is getting packed now. This is good. Pretty soon we'll be doing high fives. Yeah! Are you guys allowed to do that in church? Are y'all scared of your pastor? Amen. How many of y'all love your pastor? Good. Listen to this message. It's all about love. This is a love message tonight. It is. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 with me, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Just kind of as we get into this, so I love to give Twyla things. I love to just surprise her. One of my favorite times of year is Christmas and our anniversary. Our anniversary is on December 17th. We were married in 1982. Just so that you know that you don't have to forget your... How could you possibly forget the day that you married the most wonderful woman in the world? Did that come out of my mouth? And so, no, truly, how can you forget that? My word, I remember everything that happened on that day. I do. I wanted to marry Twyla, and so the Lord allowed me to marry Twyla. That was a great blessing. I love to give her stuff. And then we have, you know, Christmas on December 25th. And so she's always really says, well, you don't really need to get me anything big for Christmas. And I love to hear these words come out of her mouth every year. You make me look like a piker. How many of you know what a piker is? A cheapskate. Somebody who does not give at the level that you give at. I love to hear her say, I'm like a piker. Now you can say that, you guys can say that, and your friends are all go, what in the world? I have no. Can you please text that to me? I'm not sure I got it. But so I love to hear, I on purpose do something very secretive, and I love to hide it, and usually I hide it in plain sight. Twyla's a cleaner. She moves things and everything, and I never thought of this until right now. It's possible that she could clean sometime and actually move what I bought, and I wouldn't be able to find it, and that would be bad. So I got to rethink all of that. Yeah. Yeah, don't try it. And so every year, then I'll save something for the 25th. So I save it, and it's going to be big. And I'm just telling you, I do it because I love her. I do love, you know, to hear herself call herself a cheapskate, but because she is. But but I do. And if I ever want a good present, I can always buy it for myself and say, look what you got me. One year I said, thanks for the shotgun. A couple of years ago, as I said, thanks for the new golf clubs. Merry Christmas. Now, could you give me some golf balls to lose with these golf clubs? That would be great. A few years back, I bought a brand new pickup on her birthday. And I said, happy birthday. So that's the way I love Twyla. I love buying her gifts. Now you know, Well, don't you think that gifts should be functional? Yeah. Everybody should enjoy them, I think. Anyway. So, when you think about the love of Christ constraineth us, and when you think about your life changing to the point that you're actually moving in the direction with your life so that your life becometh the gospel because of the love of Christ. So when we think of that love, we should also think about giving. Because if you love someone, you will do everything in your power to give them what you, please listen, what you think they deserve. Ugh. So I'm looking tonight. I thought, this is awesome that Brother Wasson is giving his presentation tonight, and there is $10.95 a gallon milk. I actually went, whoa. $10.95. Yeah, it's like a Hawaii, but it's not, because it's nowhere near like Hawaii. At least in Hawaii, you can go out on the beach and say, I don't have any milk. There you have to milk a muskox. It's not good. I'm telling you. I was sitting there and I was going, wow. So we had Brother DeLotel here, and he is going to Santa Barbara, and it's going to cost him $10,000. And I'm pretty sure that it's going to be close to that to live up there the way that they're going to have to live, just to buy food and supply food for their little kids. Have you seen their little kids? And they've got another little kid in the oven cooking right now. I mean, can you think about these three little kids and worrying about where the... Well, if you get to know them and you love them, you're going to want to help them. But what is going to drive you to love somebody that you don't know, who's going to reach people that are lost? I mean, you heard it, twice the rate, three times the rate, suicides, the things that go on there. What is going to motivate you? What kind of love do you have to give? Not just to missions, but let's start here. You're really not a giver until you're giving to the local church. Why? That's where you begin to prove your love. So in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, if you're there, stand with me for the reading of God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Brother Paul's going to give the church at Corinth some understanding about grace giving. And I'm using that word just to challenge people who think that we don't have to tithe in this day and age because it was of the law. I would say you need to read your Bible. Abraham wasn't under the law when he tithed. And according to Hebrews, neither was Levi, who was not even born yet. So Levi even tithed. Check that out. But we'll talk about that a little bit. So the Bible says this, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." So this is something you can be liberal in. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same," here we go, "grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it. That is, there was readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality, as it is written. He that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care in the heart of Titus for you. Tonight we're going to look at this thought in these verses. How sincere is your love? How sincere is your love? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight to have ears to hear. And Lord, I'm thankful for the folks that would come out on a Friday night for the missions conference. It shows a desire of a church coming together to strive for the gospel. I pray that you would give us ears to hear, a heart to learn and apply and act upon what we hear. Lord, I pray that you would be with my mouth, my thought processes, and above all, that you'd be glorified by the heart decisions that are made here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So the first thing that we'll get to just by way of kind of introduction is this. We know that the church at Corinth had a lot of problems. And I don't need to preach to you all their problems, but evidently one of their problems was giving, because they were still wrapped up in the carnal mindset that we understand from 1 Corinthians. And there were things going on in the church that made them having adversity with one another, as we talked about last night. And so Paul writes this second letter commending them for what has gone on and the life change that has taken place in the people and in the church. In fact, in the previous chapter, he very specifically speaks about how that their lives now are reflecting a separated holiness to God, and that they, well, let's just go back. It's just one page there. He says, for godly sorrow worketh, in verse number 10, repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. So he commends them for not only hearing the word of God, but that the word of God prompted their heart to action. But there's still evidently in chapter 8 is a problem. And the problem is that there was a promise made, and we're going to tie this in a little bit later to faith promise, but there was a promise made to give something that was not given. Well, when there's a promise made, for instance, I've spoken to people and heard them say these words: the reason I don't tithe is because I don't believe that I can afford it. Well, so if you read the Old Testament, which explains tithing very well, and you say, well, it's Old Testament. Yes, it is, but it carried through to the New Testament. It's something that was not part of the law ever. What it has always been is a part of understanding that every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights. And so it means that when something good happens, when I receive something, it is, as a person who is a worshiper of God, which they would have been before the law, like Abraham, a person who is following God simply just believes that God deserves a tenth. That's right. That he deserves it. Amen. I can live on 90%. Amen. He deserves a tenth. Yes, sir. He even tells them throughout the law, when you bring the tithe, remember, it's mine. which helps us to remember, keep in our mind, that everything that we have really is His. So you're not giving God anything. You're simply returning back to Him that which He already owns. 10%. If the government only took 10%, we would be, of all people, most glad. I mean, don't get me started on that business. When you go to a restaurant, now if you tithe, if you were to tithe to them, they wouldn't accept it. They, you know, they're expecting 20%, whether they serve you or not. I used to work for a guy right here in Springfield who would put 25 $1 bills on the table. And he would, when the waitress or waiter came up, he would say to them, I am going to leave these 25 $1 bills here. Every time you do something that upsets me or that is not service to me, I'm going to take one of these away. The most I ever saw him give somebody was $3. Because he was a jerk. And so he had one little girl crying. I went back in and gave her money because I felt bad for her. And it was a nice place we were eating. He was just a mean, angry little man that was kind of chubby. He was just bad news. So, and he was a Christian. Obviously, he didn't love anybody but himself. But so when you think about it, 10%, well, the difference is when you read the Old Testament, and this is how God changed my understanding about tithing. When you read the Old Testament, the people only started griping and doing wrong after God had restored them back to the land after they were exiled in Babylon. That's where Malachi comes from. Malachi was in the last years of Nehemiah. Malachi is proclaiming to them, you've robbed me. And you say, wherein have we robbed you? In that ye have not given me the tithes and offerings. I loved you, he starts in Malachi chapter 1 and says, I loved you and I proved my love to you. Here you are back in the land and you say, wherein have you loved us? So there's a transition right before the New Testament that tells you and I a lot about just tithing. And it has to do with this. You will tithe according to what you think that God, how much you think that God loves you or what He's done. Has it been enough? Now, Brother Ron, I am not that kind of person. No, no, no. You will tithe. Look, if you make $1,000, it's pretty simple. A tithe's 100, not 10. You go, why is that necessary? Well, some people think I give to missions and then I give a little bit to the church and that's all they need. Well, I mean, all they're doing is just paying staff. All they're doing is keeping the lights on. All they're doing is keeping the air conditioning going. All they're doing is feeding missionaries. All they're doing is going out door knocking. All they're doing is trying to reach the community. Now look, I can preach like this because this is not Temple Baptist Church. Your preacher is going, yes. Because people always say, well, I would give, but I don't like the way they spend the money. Check this. You're not giving to the church. You're not giving to a pastor. You're giving according to the way that you think God deserves to be given to. So if he's worth a buck, congratulations when you stand in front of him and give the account for why you didn't do what was simple. No, Brother Ron, I can't afford it. Then you need to get to the point where you can afford it. And I believe there are people that can't afford it because they spend their money on everything but what's necessary. Now, I'm sensitive to this. You're not going to hurt my feelings, But I can tell it gets tightened up when you start talking about this, because there's some people, I don't know how many of you have not been here any night but tonight. This is your first night at the missions conference. Right, you people I knew. And of course they'd be the people that left the church. He told me your story. I think it's a blessing for you, a bummer for him. But you understand then that the plain thought here is, so how much do you really love God? It has nothing to do with how much do you love the church, love the pastor. There are people in Temple Baptist Church that do not give. And I don't know who they are. I don't go through the giving records. I know this. There's 280-odd people there, and there's 143 that give. You know what that tells me? There's a bunch of people that don't give, like half. And I know why some of them don't give, because they've told deacons and or other people, I wouldn't give a dime to that church. I just can't stand the way that he preaches. Well, that's great. You're not giving to me. You're not given to how great your preacher preaches. You're given to God. You know what? You're not even giving, if you want to get into missions a little bit, you're not even giving to how much the Lord tugs your heartstrings as you're watching these missions presentations and hearing what's going on in those countries or in those areas that people are unchurched and they've never heard the gospel. Because if you don't love God enough to have your life be constrained by the love of Christ, and if you don't love God enough for your life to live a life that becometh the gospel, you're not going to have a life that's going to have heartstrings tugged long enough to stay faithful to giving. See, it's the love of Christ that constrains us. So all of these things have been discussed. That's what Paul spent the entire first letter writing to them. Now in chapter 7, there's something good going on, but in chapter number 8, he needs to address something. So here's how he addresses it. He addresses it with the word grace, and he addresses it by saying this, that it is proving the sincerity of your love. So the way you give proves your sincerity. Again, I just said I love Twyla in front of all of you. Okay? If I come in here Sunday morning with another woman on my arm, acting like she's my wife, and I'm actually walking and living and breathing, I mean, I know this is way out there because there's nowhere you can run from the wrath of Twyla. In fact, in my phone, she's called Twilla the Hun. So that's how scared I am of her. But there was a missionary riding with me. He goes, you really do call her Twilla the Hun. I said, no, the phone does. I didn't call her that. So, but if I came in here, here's what you would say automatically. This makes perfect sense. You would say, that was insincere. He's a liar. He said he loved her. Everybody in this room understands love is action. You can say what you want with your mouth, but you prove it with your actions. All right. So that's exactly the thought process that we're going to begin with here. So in verses number one and two. He uses this thought to get them into understanding what giving's about. So it's this, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. In other words, these people couldn't afford to give. You want to talk about people that couldn't afford to give? They could not afford to give. They were in deep poverty. When the Bible says deep poverty, it's not talking about poverty or poorness of spirit. It's talking about these people were not wealthy people. If you know anything about Philippi, it was not the hub of high finance. It was mainly people who were slaves that had settled there. They were people that had worked for in the military that had settled there, and they weren't wealthy people. They weren't making a lot of money. But here's what happened to them. They were willing, outside of their circumstances, because of their love, to give. So their love drove their giving. Listen to me, not their circumstances. You'll never use your circumstances to excuse your inaction with God. Because everybody has a problem. Watch. You say, I love Berean Baptist Church. I love it. And then somebody sits in your pew. Like evidently, probably Twyla and I have done at some point this week. I don't know where everybody sits, but the preacher was talking about that, so I just thought I'd throw that out there. Somebody sits in your pew, and I know a lady. I won't tell you her name, but I know a lady that when she came to Temple Baptist Church, there actually was a visitor that came and sat right square in her place, and she called Twyla over. She goes like this, you tell that woman, it was Twyla's mom, you tell that woman to get out of my seat. Mom, this is not your seat. You did not pay for it. I sit in that seat every Sunday. You tell her to get out of my seat. She's a guest. I'm not going to do it. And by the way, Mom, don't motion me over. I'm the pastor's wife. So she got as good as she gave right there. So you could say, well, did your mother-in-law leave? No, she didn't. She actually got over it. But there's dumber reasons why people have left, but they've said, I really love the church. Now, the greatest way I love to hear somebody leave the church is when they come up to me and say, now, preacher, it's not you. I'm like, get out of here. Get out of here. Hit the bricks. Preacher, it's not you. Well, then who is it? Right. I can't say. Right. Because then you'd have to say it's me. But we love you. Yeah, we love you. Yeah, we love you, all right. We love you when we're gone. The truth is, your circumstance, whatever happens here, why would you quit coming to church? Because something happened that you don't necessarily agree with. Now, I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm not talking about, you know, music. I'm not talking about the things that you... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody says something to you and it immediately just causes you to boil up. Well, here's what you would say if a person said, no, I love the church, but... I can tell you right there, that's you're insincere when you say you love. All right? So when you say you love God and you say, but my circumstance prohibits me, you know what you're saying? God gave me these circumstances, and so I blame Him because I can't give. These people were dirt poor. And when I say dirt poor, you can read historically facts that these people were not wealthy. And here's what the Bible says, that they, out of their deep poverty, look what their deep poverty did, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were very liberal. In fact, as we go on, you're going to see that later on, they gave more than Paul thought they should give. He's like, I can't take that money. See, you know why? Because they believed that the gospel was worthy of the monetary giving that they had. Even though they could not afford it, they gave and were liberal in their giving because they literally loved the gospel. And so their circumstances were not going to, it's not going to stop me from doing what's right. Here's what I say to people. If your circumstances have you in a situation where you say, I love the Lord, but I can't give, then you need to figure out why your circumstances are that way and change them. Amen. Unless you're making zero. A dollar out of $10 just means you are not going to get some candy. or whatever, you can't even buy anything for a dollar anymore. The Dollar General is going to the $5 and $7 General, which the stuff is junk anyway, so why would you pay that? If your circumstances are ruling your love, you have a problem. How do you know? Well, because he's using another church in another area, Philippi, to tell these people who, by the way, lived in a wealthy city, a very well-to-do city. In fact, many of them were wealthy. They had the funds, the means to meet the promise that they had made. Yet they wouldn't because they started thinking more about themselves than they thought of the gospel. And then the second part of this here is, for to their power I bear record, yea, verse number 3, beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The second way that they proved their love was not just that their circumstances did not drive their giving, but they gave first of themselves. So there's a cleaning day at the church. They're there. There's a visitation day at the church. They're there. It's as if, and I don't see any offering plates. Y'all don't take offerings? This is a Baptist church. Yeah. Anyway, it's as if there's an offering plate here and they go, before I give anything, I'm giving this. I'm going to give myself. Why? Because the gospel's worth it. And I want to prove my love. I want to prove the sincerity of my love. Do you know if you're all in at a church or you're all in for the gospel's sake, that you'll be all in physically as well? There's going to be a banquet tomorrow or a gathering tomorrow of food, and as a Baptist do, food and more food. And we'll... I heard a lady say, we can always use more food. And we're Baptists. That's right. We always can eat more food. And we can take it home because that's what we love to do. Divvy it up and say, here, everybody get your dirty stuff out of the way and take your food home. And then somebody says, well, I don't want to take this home. And somebody will go, I volunteer. And we're Baptists. Well, there are people in this church, I am certain, and I've not asked the preacher, but I'm certain because there are in every church. There are people in this church that things happen in this church because they have given themselves first. Now, it apparently here, when Paul, when they're trying to give Paul the money, they're trying to explain to him because he says they did it way beyond what I thought they should or what they could. But they begged me. They were so in, they believed this so much that they were begging me not just to be part of it. I guess you could almost say it like this because this is what the text kind of infers. That they were just saying, have you ever fought over a check with someone at the... how many of you have never done that at a restaurant? I know your preacher hasn't, but I mean... Because he always just takes it, I'm just going to tell you. So... he's just a good man. But have you ever... No, no, no. Or they say, here, no, 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 you're not paying for mine. And they start putting money out there. And then they go, you're taking this money. And you've got the waitress standing there going, would you people figure this out? Somebody pay. Don't all of you get up and go to the restroom. I know that's what you're trying to do. Where you're saying, no, 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 you're not giving... No, 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 no. I mean, I've seen people throw money at each other and... all of that. No, no, no. Well, that's kind of, he's saying, no, no, they were pleading with me to take this. You know why? Because they were all in. They were physically all in. Wherever you are physically involved, wherever you are physically invested, you will be all in. Why? Well, you got some blood, sweat, and tears. And there's a big difference between those people and the people that are along for the ride. So they prove their love by their availability. Their circumstances did not dictate how they gave, and they were available, physically available for whatever was going on at the church, and in this case, the offering itself. And they did it, not as we hope, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord and then unto us by the will of God. That's when you know a person is giving right. So this has happened at Temple Baptist Church. I've been there for 24 years this year. And this has happened. We've made some decisions, the men, and then the church made a decision where everyone voted, where we had a 98-99% yes approval. And I'm just going to tell you, 98-99% is a miracle in any Baptist church. It's too bad. We actually had a lady who voted before she died. She told me this. I voted no because I felt like somebody needed to vote no for everything the church voted for just to say somebody voted no. We laughed about it. I laughed. I did. I laughed. She said, I just wanted you to know that I voted no whenever we voted for you. And I still like you. I'm sure there's one or two of those people here. They just vote no for no reason. Just because somebody needs to vote no. But these people said this. You know what? We're going to give ourselves not only physically, but we're going to give ourselves to the leadership that God has put over us. Remember, we're talking about sincerity of love. Is it sincere for you to say, I love the pastor, and then talk about him behind his back? It's insincere. Is it sincere for you to say that you love the pastor's family, the pastor's wife, you love the church, the way that it's going, you love the song leader? I mean, he's a pretty good song leader. He's a pretty good guy. I heard the old guy was better, but I mean, just kidding. He does very well. He's excellent. I wish I had someone to do that. Can I borrow him for a few years? I feel God calling him to. You're really insincere. You said you loved me. A person who is all in physically is also willing to say, you know what? This is the God-given authority here, and I'm going to give myself to him as well. You'll note there in that verse, he says they gave themselves to the Lord, and they gave themselves to me also. They believed that the direction that he was going was what God wanted, and so they did. Their heart never said, well, if I agreed with him, I would give more. No, no, no. They agreed and they gave because that was the direction they were supposed to go. The next thing he says there is in verse number 6, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Not only were they willing to give themselves to the Lord, to Paul as the leader, not only did they do it regardless of their circumstances, they did it also because they knew that if they were going to be sincere in their love, their sincere love would dictate action in giving. To say I would if I could, or I wanted to, doesn't get her done. The way you do it is you prove. I'm not talking about being crazy and, you know, saying, well, I mean, I want to give $1 million, but I don't have $1 million, so I'm going to go to the bank and borrow $1 million. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about out of their ability, they did more than he thought that they could, but that's what grace does in you. It causes you to be able to act in ways that you would not normally act, and it gives you the ability to live under different means and circumstances when you know that something is more important than you. And so you're willing to give no matter the cost to yourself. Again, I'm not talking about to live in poverty. I'm not talking about we should all you know, pile things all together. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about in their ability and beyond their ability, they proved their sincerity by taking action. Because that's what love does. We started with that. And so you'd say, well, I mean, they gave above. This is the reason this is in this part of the text. You could say, well, they gave above their circumstances. That proves their love. You could say there that, well, I mean, they made themselves available, and that proves their love. Or you could say that they were taking action, and that proves their love. What proved their love was all of those things together prove the sincerity of their love. So you can love something and not really love it. There are things that I love. I love Twyla. I love my grandchildren. I also love German chocolate cake. And I can prove the sincerity in all of those things because I don't mind giving my grandchildren things. Notice I skipped my children. And I don't mind giving my wife things, and I don't mind eating German chocolate cake, but I don't love German chocolate cake as much as I love Twyla. Right. So what proves your sincerity? It's that all of these things combine, and you look different. It now looks like you're giving because the love of Christ has constrained you to give because the gospel is worthy to give toward, and it starts right here in the church. And then that giving causes you to prove your sincerity in the gospel outreach and giving to missionaries to go out and minister the gospel and preach the gospel elsewhere. This is what you call a Ponzi scheme. You start loving something and you start throwing yourself in it, and pretty soon you're adding layers upon yourself, and the more layers that God adds in grace, the more apt you are to give more, and you give freely and you give without recognition. There are people in churches, I've seen them, you've seen them, that give, but they give like this. I just want to give you this $500 check. So everybody can hear them. Pastor, I'll give $1,000. I just wanted to stand up and say that. And then there are the people that give way more than they possibly can. And sometimes they don't even understand how they do it. But the grace of God bestowed upon them allows them to live. You know what? I can say this. When I fully invested in giving properly to show my love, I don't even think about what I'm giving anymore. Why? Because I could never give enough. Let's go back to that Old Testament thought, because he's worthy. So we would say this, well, I give my... I've actually had people say this to me at missions conferences, and I'm going to help you now not to say this to me. Well, Brother Ron, I believe giving also includes of your time. And here's what I would say. Yes, it does. I also believe you can give and only give your talent. Yes, that's true. They very rarely say, and I also tithe and give offerings. Because somewhere we think if I give my time, that's tithe. That's not what the Bible says. No. Some people think, well, I don't give to missions, but I pray for missions. Well, I would hope you would. But again, sincerity is proven by action. And if everyone in here has been shaking your head like this, so it's understood. If you're going to do these things, you're going to continue to build layer upon layer upon layer until pretty soon you're going to be giving above more than you could possibly think you'd give. In fact, you might even scare yourself when you fill out the Faith Promise Missions card. Because you're saying, why is that number in my head? Well, evidently the Lord wants you to give beyond what you think you can give. Well, I tithe. I give to missions. I give a pittance. I've heard people say, well, I give a little bit to... I don't think any church should have too much money. And so I'm the person who's kind of controlling that. Really, thank you. But you controlling what goes on in the church is not up to you. There's one who already controls what's going on in the church. And then he's put someone above you in the pew. Now, I don't call you lay people because that's not true. You are men and women of God. And you have been given a shepherd over you. And that shepherd is the only one in this room who is going to stand and give an account for your soul and his own. No one else in here will give that account. He is the one who's been set. So that's why it should be easy to give yourself to the pastor, because you would say, well, I'm in this church. I was set here by God, and so I'm going to give myself to him. See how? But if you don't do that, then you'll never get sincere in your giving. You'll never prove your love sincerely. Now, here's what I know. I don't think anybody in this room who is born again would dare say, I hate God. So here's what I'm going to ask you. What does your giving prove? Brother Ron, that's not even in the Bible. You better read that verse one more time, because it says, prove the sincerity of your love by growing in this grace also. Is it good to witness? Yeah. Is it good to read your Bible? Yeah. Is it good to sing in the choir? Absolutely. Is it good to be here at work days? You betcha. Is it good to be out on soul winning visitation? You bet. Is it good to participate in the ministries of this church and be fully involved in them physically? Absolutely. But here's what he said. When you grow in this grace, the grace of giving, is when you truly prove the sincerity of your love. Now, if you want to tie it back, you can do this on your own. Go back to Malachi chapter 3 and read it and see why God said to the children of Israel, everything you do is insincere, because you give me the second, third, fourth best. You don't give me what you know you're supposed to give me, and yet you say, we don't rob you. Well, Brother Ron, I don't believe that the New Testament and the Old Testament are tied. Then you better talk to Jesus, because he's the one who used the Old Testament as well. That's where we learn. That's what Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. So what does your giving prove? That's a big bummer. But it's in the Bible. By this grace, you're going to prove your sincerity. Now, I would pray that everyone in this room would go, man, I'm on board with that. I would pray that. And I heard the preacher say last night, his prayer was that everyone would get involved. Here's what I know. Not everyone will get involved unless everyone is already tithing. Why? Because you got to start with obedience before you can prove anything. I used to say to my kids all the time, you know, that my son, I love him. He's a good young man. He has the kids that he deserves. He's paying for his raising. And I love him, but he has to do a lot of work to get them to behave. And I love that too. And Stephen used to say to me when I'd come in to give him a spanking, and yes, if you don't believe in that, too bad, so sad. But I'd go in to spank him, and I never walked in there with anger. I would always walk in there reasonable, because if you lose it, you've already lost it. And so I would say, son, do you know why you're getting a spanking? Dad, I love you. Son, do you know why you're getting a spanking? Because I didn't mean to. Son, do you know why you're getting a spanking? But Dad, I love you. I don't. And so I'd stop and I'd say, you don't love me. Otherwise, you would have obeyed. And he would go, I said, do you understand why you're getting a spanking? Yes. Why? He would tell me. And I would say, son, lean over the bed. And I would spank him. And I didn't go, woo, yeah. Usually I left out there going, I hate this. But God's the one who started the business. In fact, Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And that he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. John said, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, this is how we know that we love God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not a big deal. So ask yourself this question, why do I struggle with giving? I will not pretend for a moment that everybody in here agrees or cares about this message. That's not the point. It's in the Bible. We will give an account. I don't expect this to be the most popular message of the week. I don't expect any message ever about money, because we all think we have it handled. But the truth is, if we did it God's way and obeyed, it would simply prove our sincerity in our love. And you can't start that unless you're obeying in the first part. Later on Sunday morning, we're going to go to why missions giving specifically is not only necessary, but it's also a part of the required giving of grace. And let me just stop here and say, if you would give by grace, the tithe would be nothing. People say, well, I believe in grace giving. That means I can give whatever. No, no, no. If you believe in grace giving, you believe that God's given you grace to do way more than you are capable of doing yourself, because that's what salvation is all about. I can't get to heaven on my own. There's no way I could be good enough. Only God's grace is going to be sufficient to get me there. And not only that, I can't live this Christian life without the grace of God. So guess what? I can't give properly without the grace of God. I want you to think about the scriptures, not about Ron Jones or the church. Think about the scriptures and ask yourself this question. Does my giving prove my sincerity of love for God, the gospel, and Jesus Christ? If you measured your sincerity by your giving, how would it measure? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of you say here tonight, Brother Ron, Lord spoke to me in some way. I just ask you to pray with me about it. Now, nobody's looking around, just me. I would love to pray with you. If you'd let me, just raise your hand and let me pray with you. Anybody at all, just leave it up just for a minute so I can see it. I'd sure appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, it's right to speak back to Him. But folks, I'm asking you to search your heart and be honest with it. Let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God do the work in you and convince you of what you need to be convinced about. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Word of God that helps us, teaches us. God, I know in my life I've struggled with these truths, and I'm thankful that you've, by your grace, taught me. I pray, God, that you'd maybe help those here tonight who are just struggling. I know that I have loved you, but my sincerity certainly could be called into question at times until you taught me this. And so I pray that as you allowed Titus to teach the church at Corinth, as Paul wrote, that we would grow in this grace also. that we would look at it the way that you look at it with your eyes. And we'll give you glory for that. Be with those who raise their hand, God. I don't know how you've spoken to their heart, but I pray that you'd help them to grow. I know that you love for us to turn to you, and so I pray we would do that in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. You come if you need to.
Have thine own.